Rock and rolling, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Sweet 16 does start tonight, so let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in a man that does a great job covering college hoops for Barstool Sports, and that's Bobby Regan. Regs, I know it's been a while. How you been?
Good, man. How you doing?
Well, I've been fantastic. We'll get to the games in just a bit, but I want to take care of some of the coaches first. Ed Cooley leaving Providence for Georgetown. Whenever a coach justifies that decision by talking about himself in the third person and saying this isn't a move for coach, this is a move for Ed, it just always rubs me the wrong way. But what do you think the real reason is why Ed Cooley, after over a decade, said, okay, I'm leaving Providence and going to Georgetown?
I mean, listen, Georgetown's a better job, but, like, you're the king of Providence, and you're the first Big East coach to go directly to another Big East school. It didn't make any sense. Like, yes, it's easier to make a Final Four at Georgetown, but if you're leaving Providence, which I don't blame him for wanting to leave Providence, you got to go somewhere else, or you got to handle it better. I mean, every step he has handled it so poorly, it seems, whether it's, you know, the house being listed for sale, the rumors that he's recruiting for Georgetown while, you know, still at Providence, the quote he had at his introductory press conference saying it's divine providence that
bad
he's
luck.
Here. Like, it's just like, what, like, I mean, I wish I could say my real thoughts and but you'd be kicked off radio. It's just like, what are you doing? Like, it's just, Ed Cooley and 95% of head coaches are this way, are calculated. They know they're planners. It's not like they get caught off guard by things, especially when you're doing an introductory press conference where you're basically reading, you know, whatever you had written down for you. Just what are you doing?
Well, you know what it is? On Monday, we were having this conversation. I'm like, he's one of the coolest coaches and likable coaches in the sport. And then a day later, it's almost as if he heard that and said, all right, I'm just going to go heel, and he gave a middle finger to everybody.
Yeah, and it's just, again, I don't blame him for leaving Providence, but it's, and I get that Georgetown, it's easier to make a Final Four at Georgetown than it is at Providence, but it's like,
he also could have got a better job somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like, it wasn't a drastic change in money. It wasn't like he went from, you know, $3 million to $10 million or something like that. He didn't. I know his daughter goes to Georgetown, but he doesn't have ties to Georgetown. It's not like, you know, it's not like Chris Beard leaving Texas Tech for Texas. Like, he had ties to Texas. I understood that. Texas is a much better job than Texas Tech. The only other two I can think of is Tubby Smith left from Georgia to Kentucky, which, no brainer. And Mike White recently left from Florida to Georgia, and he was getting fired at Florida anyway. So it's like, to be one of the few people to jump from conference to conference, you better have a you-know-what reason to do so.
Bobby Regan here with us. So Pitino takes over St. John's. I think it's a perfect
awesome
fit. And then awesome. Tobin Anderson replaces him at Iona. How about those two moves?
So it makes sense. Tobin Anderson was a finalist at Iona when Pitino got the job. Again, hire Pitino over Tobin Anderson 100 out of 100 times. No disrespect to Tobin Anderson, but I think Pitino is one of the five greatest coaches of all time in the sport. And he still is arguably the best in-game coach in the entire sport of basketball. So him going to St. John's, no brainer. He gets to live at Wingfoot, which we know means the world to him. He's back in the Big East. He's in New York. He's at a place he's familiar with. He can recruit, you know, it's an uphill battle because it's still St. John's, but it's a no-brainer. And Iona hiring Tobin Anderson, again, no-brainer, especially because he was a finalist, you know, the last time around. It's not like sometimes where a guy from a mid-major wins a game or goes on a little run in the tournament, and then everyone's like, oh, that, you got a coach in a major conference. It's like, well, no, like Tobin Anderson was a finalist at Iona before, so it makes sense.
Micah Shrewsbury, I don't think anyone's surprised by this, leaving Penn State and taking the Notre Dame job.
Yeah, again, like, I'm from Pennsylvania originally. I know Penn State basketball. It's hard to win at Penn State. It just is. Like, you don't have a great recruiting base. You can have some ties like Roman Catholic, like Penn State does, but Pennsylvania gets picked over by every, you know, the top talent in Philly goes to the Blue Bloods. You have Nova to deal with. You have, you know, even the likes of Maryland and Georgetown can go in there. So it's not like Penn State owns the state of Pennsylvania like they can do in football. At Notre Dame, you can recruit anywhere. It's still Notre Dame. You know, I yes, it's a tougher academic school and tougher to get in, but you can recruit anywhere when you're Notre Dame. And again, he's a Midwest guy. It made all the sense in the world. I just don't ever think of Penn State as like a final stepping coach job. It's just what it is. And I jokingly say it, but I truly believe it. Penn State needs better jerseys. You can't wear the logo on the chest and look like a practice jersey and expect to be taken serious.
How about that? Reeks here with us from Barstool Sports. So I got to ask you this because we've seen, right, Porter Moser go to Oklahoma, leave Loyola Chicago. Paul Mills finally left Oral Roberts and takes Wichita State. Shaheen Holloway didn't have to wait long. He goes back to Seton Hall. Who is the next coach that is young, kind of up and coming, doesn't have the big job yet? Like, I look at Pat Kelsey as the next name that I go, okay, he's bound to get a big job.
Yeah, and even Grant McCaslin just left North Texas for Texas Tech. So there is kind of, it's cyclical, right? Like every year, somebody like Kelsey, not that Kelsey came out of nowhere, but
yeah,
they had this big year. You look at Dusty May at Florida Atlantic. That's a prime example. Dusty May is going to be linked to major jobs from here on out. I agree with you on Kelsey. I still can't believe John Becker's at Vermont. I have a somewhat personal relationship with Becker. I've known him for 25 years now or something like that, 20 years. That guy can coach.
Well, we had him on, actually, right before the tourney, and I asked him about that. I go, why are you still at Vermont? And he was like, well, I can't force someone to hire me, pretty much. Like, that's what he said.
Right. And I know, like, he loves Vermont, and he is a very loyal guy, but it's crazy that he's not, like, in the A-10 or something like that. So, you know, I think a job will eventually pry Becker away. I think, you know, in your neck of the woods, I think Urgo is going to be a name that pops up more and more,
yeah,
especially if he keeps winning 20 games. It's not like, you know, at Fordham, you don't have to make the tournaments all of a sudden become a hot name.
And he's a great personality, too.
Yeah, if you're consistently 20 wins and in the top five in the A-10, which, yeah, like, I don't love A-10 basketball. I don't think it's great, but it's Fordham. I'm trying to be nice here. It's Fordham.
Bobby Regan here with us. So you're a big Kentucky guy. How warm is the seat for your guy, Coach Cal?
So it's weird. I was having this discussion with someone else the other day, and some of it's blown up, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, just he hasn't done anything since 15. And it's like, well, he was a buzzer beater away in 17 for making a Final Four, probably being the favorite to win the championship with Fox and Monk and Bam. And then in 19, they choked away an overtime Elite Eight game against Auburn, where there's another Final Four, right? So there's that. And then, yes, like, but 2020, they won the SEC by a few games. Obviously, COVID happens. Who knows what happens with that run? But you're talking about a team with the number one free throw shooting team in the country, and you have Quickly, Maxey, and Higgins. We know guards win in March. That would have been a popular team to make a run. 21, COVID year was bad, obviously. I'm willing to put an asterisk on COVID year because it is such a weird year. Last year, the regular season, they were a top 16 in the country. And then you get smoked by St. Peter's. That's really what is putting the bad taste in everyone's mouth. And it's like, okay, he's done what Kentucky fans scream of. Get upperclassmen. Stop the one and done. Well, guess what? We had a team full of upperclassmen this year. He hit the transfer portal. His roster construction wasn't great, and that's my problem with him. But it's also like, you sure you don't just want the best players? Because that worked out pretty well for what you're screaming to go back to. And that's what he has coming in next year. Next year is an important year. There is a massive buyout, which people keep talking about, or forgetting to talk about, I should say, when putting him on the hot seat. There is a massive buyout, and it is now a Kentucky Civil War. I spent all day Sunday arguing with Kentucky fans, where it was like, the season is Calipari's fault. That game against Kansas State was the players' fault. Two of your best players go 2 for 22 from the field. John Calipari can't make shots. Like, he can't go on the floor and shoot for Antonio Reeves. So it is, he needs to just figure out how to be modern and adapt. But also, he's got to get back to his roots of just trying to recruit the best players, because that's what worked.
Bobby Regan here with us. Who do you give the edge to tonight in Kansas State, Michigan State?
So I actually like Kansas State. I know Izzo has the advantage. I know it's Izzo. I know it's March. I know Michigan State. But Kansas State has two All-Americans, and they can shoot the ball. And yeah, like, Michigan State is hot now, but they're also a 7 seed for a reason, and Kansas State was a 3 seed for a reason. The fact that, you know, Kansas State's an underdog was somewhat shocking. And I don't know. I really like this Kansas State team. It's going to be a battle between the guards, and it's really who's the third person that kind of steps up and produces. We know about Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. We know about Tyson Walker and AJ Hogard, but who's the third guy? And whatever team has that third guy step up is going to win. And I see a lot of people picking Michigan State, and I'm a contrarian by heart, so I just keep. I think it's Kansas State.
I can't wait for Gonzaga, UCLA. I think it's just going to be another classic. We all know what happened even in that COVID year a few years ago where Suggs hits the shot and gets on the table, and there's basically no one in the building. You got Timmy Campbell, Jaquez, a few, Mick Cronin, obviously. I know there's some health issues with UCLA. Do you like Gonzaga tonight or UCLA? I'm kind of leaning towards UCLA in this one.
So I love this UCLA team. I think they are the third tier one team. They're right there with Alabama and Houston. I think those three are a tier above everyone else. Maybe Texas in there too. But Adembona being hurt and questionable for this game has me all the way confused, because UCLA is battling injuries already.
And with now Clark headed into the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, and Singleton rolled his ankle against Northwestern. He says he's fine, but again, one little slip. How'd that ankle hold up? Or one cut, how's that ankle hold up? Bona, though, is another big that you can throw on Timmy. And we saw what Timmy did against TCU and take advantage of mismatches. Well, if UCLA bigs are in foul trouble or, they're getting called on switches, you're down a body. And Timmy can go get you 30. And Gonzaga's kind of flying under the radar. So I was all in my head. I had UCLA Final Four. I think they can compete for a title. But now I'm going back and forth in this game where that bone injury, he doesn't seem like a lot, but he's an elite weak side, help side defender and another body of Timmy. And now I'm kind of leaning back towards Gonzaga. So I don't know. I do think it's going to be a little more high scoring than most. So
does the Dusty May story continue to get better tonight up against Rick Barnes in Tennessee?
Listen, man, I hope so. I'm still a Kentucky grad. I don't ever want to see Tennessee win at anything.
You're not singing "Good Old Rocky Top" is what you're telling me?
That song gives me the worst kind of feeling. And so does that color of orange. But Florida Atlantic's guards can play, and they run a 4-out, 1-in offense. They have a 7-footer in Golden, so it's like they can match up with Tennessee. It's just how do they handle the pressure? Because we know what Tennessee does. And at the same time, you talk about hot seats and all this other stuff. The talk is Rick Barnes can't win a March, and Tennessee can't win a March. They've never been to a Final Four. They've been to one Elite Eight their entire, program history. What happens if it's like a 2-point game at under 4? How much do they start tightening up? It's easy to say they don't hear it. We cut out the noise. You're human and you're college kids. It's very easy to hear that noise and have it lingering in the back of your head.
It's weird. For most sports, we talk about the players. In college basketball, we talk about the coaches first. I could just watch this game tonight between Arkansas and UConn with a camera on Musselman and a camera on Hurley. It's going to be awesome.
Listen, we do split screens for interviews that are pointless. Why can't we have a split screen with the coaches? Because if they got into a fist fight, I wouldn't be shocked. If they started hugging each other, I wouldn't be shocked. They are two of the most electric personalities in all of the sport. I mean, both could take their shirts off in the middle of the game, and I wouldn't be shocked. Musk does that after the game all the time. But I want the two of them on camera at all times. And it's going to be a war. Both teams are physical. Both teams will just beat the heck out of each other. I want to see the two coaches, too, because they're both elite coaches. I mean, this is Musk's third straight trip to the second weekend with Arkansas. And we, Hurley has finally gotten over the hump and is bringing UConn back. You want to talk about two fan bases that are the definition of insane, and it's UConn and Arkansas. And I've seen them arguing with each other all week. Part of me wishes this was an Elite Eight game, just because it's hyped up a little bit more. Winner goes to the Final Four, everything like that. This could turn into a brawl, and I wouldn't be surprised. And yeah, I agree with you. I want a camera on both of those guys.
Talk about another game that feels bigger than a Sweet 16 game. Houston-Miami has an Elite Eight feel, maybe even a Final Four feel, especially with Isaiah Wong and Marcus Sasser.
I mean, that whole region, that's a brutal region. You look at Xavier, Texas, too, right? Like, you can tell me any four of those teams make a Final Four, and I'd be like, yeah,
not shocked.
I could see it. But yeah, I mean, you talk about elite guards. Houston and Miami have two of the best, if not the two best backcourts in the country. And we know Houston's defense, you know, but it's going to be who wins that guard battle. And I can't wait. Like I'm a guard guy. I don't care for bigs. I care about guards. And yeah, I agree. I think that might be the most intriguing game of the weekend or of the 2 days.
Bobby Regan, does it really matter how much further Texas goes, or will this job just go to Rodney Terry? Because it's kind of laughable to me that he hasn't already got the job yet.
See, I disagree with you. I disagree 100% with that. You're Texas. This is a major, major program. Yes, what Rodney Terry has done with this team has been awesome, and it's a really good story. And he's proven, like, okay, I can win with these guys. But why didn't he win at UTEP when he had, like, Sully Boone was playing there? He's coaching against Sully Boone in the Sweet 16. And Sully Boone was an all Big East player and arguably, you know, on the shortlist for Big East Player of the Year and All American.
So who would you hire?
I mean, that's the thing, right? But why automatically default it to Rodney Terry because he won with this team? Yes, this team loves him. Are recruits going to love him? Can he recruit? Why not open it up and say, can we find a better candidate? If it is Rodney Terry, then hire him by all means. I'm not saying don't hire Rodney Terry. I just think it's a dumb idea for any school, any major school, to say, oh, our interim won, let's just hire him. Because how much has that honestly worked out? It worked out with Michigan back in the day when they won the title with Fisher, but how much has it really worked out?
Wrapping up with Barstool Reeks, who joins us right now. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at Bobby Regan. Before we let you run, the other two games for tomorrow night, San Diego State going up against Alabama, Princeton, and Creighton. What are the chances here for San Diego State and Princeton?
I think the end of the road for Princeton. I would not be surprised if Creighton beats them by like 20.
And they're big too, Creighton.
Yeah, and then, you know, they have the Big East Defensive Player of the Year. They have the guards. They run an offense that can just, you know, kind of open up Princeton. San Diego State is an interesting team because the Mountain West are kind of computer tickers, right? Like, they always have high rankings and high ratings, but they don't win. And you look at the San Diego State team, who have they beaten this year? They beat BYU, Stanford, and Ohio State in the non-conference. They lost to St. Mary's, Arizona, Arkansas. And then even in the tournament, they beat Charleston and Furman. They beat two mid-majors. And yes, you can only play who's in front of you. But I am nervous that the talent gap for Alabama just kind of overwhelmed San Diego State, because San Diego State wants to play slow, their defense. They're not a great shooting team. They have a couple guys that can kind of go get their own bucket. But, you know, at this point of the tournament, I look at talent, and Alabama has the elite talent. So I want to believe that San Diego State can keep it close and kind of muck it up, but we saw Maryland do it, and then Alabama just opened it up in the second half.
Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at Barstool Reeks. He's Bobby Regan. Bobby, great to catch up with you as always. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Pets aren't just like family. They are family. So when you need to find a sitter for your fur baby, go to care.com/pets. It's so easy and fast to find local, experienced, and background-checked pet caregivers. From dog walkers to cat sitters, you can find flexible pet care for your long or short-term needs. You have a selection to choose from. Just post a job on care.com/pets for caregivers to apply to. Then browse by availability, view ratings and reviews, plus more. And rest assured, all caregivers who you can interact with are required to complete a background check. Over 3 million households use Care. Find a caregiver your furry family will love at care.com/pets. That's care.com/pets.